An evil conscience is one that whispers to you, you'll not be forgiven this time. God really doesn't love you. Look what you did 10 years, 20 years, yesterday. Nuh-uh. Your conscience has absolutely no right to accuse you of anything.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. We're glad you're joining us for the broadcast today. Pastor Bill is currently taking us through the New Testament epistle of Romans. And today, he continues this study with the message, In That Day, Part 2. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 2 this morning. We're doing an in-depth study through the book of Romans, and I'm so glad you've decided to be a part of that this morning. You know, when we study out Romans, especially the first part, a lot of people, and I don't know why, but they tend to become discouraged. Did you know that all the judgments of God, the whole book of Romans, remember the theme, is good news. It's the gospel. In other words, it's what we've been saved from. Amen? So when we look at the judgments of God, these first chapters here, I look at that with great satisfaction, knowing that God has saved us from that. Amen? But God is so good in what he does, in his great love that he has for his creation. He tells man what he's going to face, what she's going to face in that day. And God doesn't want anyone to be there, for example, at the great white throne judgment. He wants everyone to be there in heaven with him. Amen? So when we study this out, you know, God is so wonderful because he gives us these principles about his judgment. Now, at this point in our study, this is part two, remember, from last Sunday, entitled In That Day, part two this morning, about the seven principles of the judgments of God. Now, we're going to conclude with that today, but at this point, we see now from here on God's judgment against those who are religious. In other words, those who say that they have a relationship, but they really, really don't. They have ritual instead of redemption, and they have works, but they don't really have worship, and they have an outer form of godliness, but they have absolutely no fear of God at all, which means that there's no inner transformation that has taken place. So let's begin part two of our message this morning in that day, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 2, where God says this, "For there is no partiality with God." You know, that is a great scripture. God has no favorites. I know that there are some that think that they really are God's favorite, but God has no favorites at all. So in that day, all of us, Christian and unbeliever, in that day, God's judgment will truly be without respect to the person. Doesn't matter how famous the person was on earth, how much money, how much education, doesn't matter at all. You know, God is no respecter of persons, yet every person will be judged equally because God is always fair. Now listen carefully. God is no respecter of persons, but God loves every person that has ever been born equally. Do you believe that? Equally. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love Billy Graham any more than he does us. Do you understand? God's love is perfect. It's unconditional. And God is love. You see, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," meaning every person in all generations, "for God so loved the world that he did something about the horrible judgments that man's going to face and the horrible guilt that's upon him. He gave man a way out. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." God is so good. You know, for a lost person, they should run to the Lord and say, "Oh, you love me." Yes, he loves you. He doesn't love your sin. God hates sin. Amen? But he loves everyone equally. Now, verse 11 is a transitional verse, if you will, to where now we move into the Jew and the Gentile. And believe me, the Jews did not like verse 11 at all. But let's go to verse 12. And he says this, "For as many," Paul writes, "as have sinned without the law," meaning the law of Moses, will also perish without the law. Now, the Gentiles, remember, they didn't receive the Word of God. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They were just lost men in this world. So since they weren't given the law, since they didn't know anything really about it, it says that, you know, well, God's not going to judge them according to the law. But look at this one. As many as have sinned in the law, meaning those who knew the Word of God, will be judged by the Word of God or by the law. So the Jews, they'll be judged in that day, those who, you know, but they had the Ten Commandments, they had the laws of God. And he says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now listen, having the law and hearing the law doesn't save anyone. No one can be justified, that word declared righteous, declared in right standing with God. No one can be declared righteous in the eyes of Almighty God by keeping a set of rules, by keeping a set of laws. Name me one person in the entire Bible that was saved by keeping the law. No one. Every person in the Bible, Old Covenant, New Covenant, we're all saved the same way, by faith, by believing. That's it. And so we look at this, and we know in our Bible, like it says in Romans 3:20, look right there, we're right there anyway. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law tells us what sin really is. Now, for when the Gentiles, the nations of the world, okay, who do not have the law, now watch this, by nature do the things in the law, these also, not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written, look where it's written, in their hearts, in their conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them. You know, the law of conscience. Man, you know, every person has a built-in, deposited sense of right and wrong. Amen? Hello? Be with me this morning. And you say, Bill, this is boring. No, it's not as good. You need to know these things. It's in the Word of God. But we all, don't we all have a built-in sense of right or wrong, even before we came to Christ? Yeah, you know if you did wrong. You know there was something just didn't set right in your heart. You said, oh, that's a bad thing to do, and you didn't even know why. But the reason is because the Bible just told us we have that built in. Every person that has ever been born, okay, has that built in sense of moral awareness. It says there, by nature, do the things in the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. That means that the law of Moses that was written, the Ten Commandments on the two tablets of stone, were also written someplace else. They were placed and written in a man's heart, a woman's heart. Every person that has ever lived, it is a divine work of God, and it is present in every person that has ever been born, from Adam to those that are being born right now, downtown Fort Worth, or any place in the world. Now listen to me. No person that has ever been born has been absent of light or revelation. Does that make sense? See, that's why God can declare. See what God does in his word here. All the way over until we get to chapter 3, verse 20 and following, God does one thing in his word. Paul says, God declares everyone on earth guilty before him. And only God can declare all the world guilty because, number one, he owns the world and he also owns all of his creation. Amen? And the good news is that we don't have to be guilty before God. There is a way out, and his name is Jesus Christ, of course. But here we're looking, and no one is absent of that light. So listen carefully. People say, how's God going to judge people that have never heard of the gospel and those people all those thousands of years ago or whatever? Well, here's the deal. In that day, God's judgment will be according to the light that has been given unto them and the revelation that they've received. See, the inner revelation of a person's right or wrong, now listen carefully, which is older than the law of Moses, goes all the way back to Adam. You see, all men know, all people know it's really wrong to steal, don't you? We all know that. Even when we were a little child, you know, you knew it was wrong to go in there and get the cookie out of the cookie jar. Mama told you not to do it, but what did you do? You crept in there and you took it anyway. Thank you. Thank you, Harley. One righteous man in the whole bunch this morning. No, listen, we know it's wrong to lie. And you know, you can sit there. Now listen, if you've ever lied, and the Bible says all men are liars, so everyone in this room must have one time in their life told at least one lie. And you know what people do when you lie? You look a person right in the eyes and you lie to them, and your conscience is going, you are a liar. It accuses you, doesn't it? Come on. It's right there. God placed it right there, whether a person is born again or whether a person is not born again. So we know the inner conscience that tells us murder is wrong. It's wrong to hurt people. It's wrong to judge people. It's wrong. Why? It's in within every person. And it's also, we know that men and people, all people, know what is right. They know that it's right to be good to other people. They know that it's right not to harm other people. They know that it's right to give a glass of water to a thirsty person. Amen? Why? It's within them. God wrote the law in every person's heart. Now listen very carefully. Since it is within them, and since every person that has ever been born, they have a conscience, and they know, basically, have a sense of what is right and what is wrong, in that day, God will judge lost people, lost mankind, and he'll do so according to how well they lived, according to the conscience, the standards that they set up in their life. Those have never heard the gospel. So the law that is written within their heart will then become the judge of them in that day. Now listen carefully. Man is not saved by the light that they have. Man is judged, fallen man is judged by the light that they have. Amen? Very important to know that. Now, it says there that their thoughts accusing are excusing what they have done. The conscience, boy, I'll tell you, is something to be said about that. See, no one can ever say, or no one who's ever been born can say, I have never violated my conscience. Never. No one can say that. You can say, there's at least one time you violated your conscience. All of us, we've all done those things. But here's the problem with conscience. Conscience is not always a guide, is it? You remember, what did the children of Israel do when they fell away from the Lord? They were offering their own children to Moloch, putting in the red-hot arms of that god and burning them and sacrificing them alive. And their conscience said it was what they needed to do. That's horrible. So conscience is not always a guide. Conscience is also a goad, if you will. But you know what? If you study out the Bible, I encourage you to do this about conscience and all the things that can happen to it. The conscience, you can have a pure conscience before God. You can also have a defiled conscience before God, Titus 2. And not only that, it says in Timothy that man can sear their own conscience. In other words, where it becomes calloused, it becomes numb. So conscience then is not always a guide. Remember when Jesus, the woman that was caught in adultery, there, Jesus, remember what he did? He sat down and started writing in the sand with his finger. And it says in John chapter 8, verse 9, it says, then the oldest from the youngest, what did they do? Their conscience bothering them. It says that they started leaving, and the woman was there alone with the Lord. And the Lord, of course, you know the rest of the story of what he did, what he said. Now, so the conscience can also be that guy. But here's the thing that we need to remember. Sophocles said this, there is no witness so terrible, no accuser so powerful as conscience which dwells within us. Boy, that is a true word, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that even as a believer, that your conscience can attack you? That even though you're born again, sealed with the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, know the Word of God, that sometimes your conscience comes and accuses you. Look what you did 10 years ago. Look what you did 30 years ago. Oh, you failure. Am I the only person that ever hears those kind of voices? Medicate me then, okay? No, listen to me. A believer can have what every person wants, a clear, clean conscience. Do you believe that? Let me give you a scripture real quickly. Hebrews 9:13. Let me read it to you. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats, which will never take away sin, if the blood of bull and goats and the ashes of a heifer, meaning the red heifer, there in Numbers, it says, sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh. Now, listen to the contrast. How much more? Say that with me. How much more shall the blood of Jesus, in contrast to the blood of bull and goats, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, meaning he had never sinned, Jesus, a spotless, sinless Son of God, without spot to God, listen carefully now, cleanse, literally to free, to wash away your conscience. Cleanse, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Dead works means that self-effort to gain or God's approval or gain God's love. I'm doing this, Lord, so you'll love me. God already loves you. Listen, this is not head knowledge, that scripture from Hebrews 9:13. That is heart knowledge. When you get that into your heart, that the blood of Jesus and only the blood of Jesus can cleanse your conscience, it'll change your life. You know, Hebrews 10:22, listen carefully. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know what an evil conscience is? An evil conscience is one that whispers to you, you'll not be forgiven this time. God really doesn't love you. Your sins are not really forgiven. Look what you did 10 years, 20 years, yesterday. No, I'm sorry. But God says, no, you're not saved. Your conscience. I want to tell you something. If you believe the Word of God, if you trust the Word of God, your conscience has absolutely no right to accuse you of anything. That you had 20 years ago, I was divorced, or, oh God, no, you know, and all these things, all these accusations and all my past sins, oh God, I hear the voice of it. Did you really forgive me? Listen to me. This belongs to you right today. I'm talking about a clean conscience and a fully cleansed conscience, and it's all by the precious blood of Jesus. All of our shame, all of our guilt, all of it is removed because of the blood. Amen? Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I had somebody say, Bill, why don't you read the rest of that verse? Or the rest of you only quote part of it. It's because the rest of that verse is not in the manuscript. The rest of that verse, who walk by the Spirit, not in the flesh, but by the Spirit. No, that doesn't happen until verse 4 in Romans chapter 8. So it's therefore, now there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, period. The rest of it's not in the Greek. Do you understand me? Because then it'll be something you have to do. You see, it's all by grace that you're saved, all by faith that you're saved. You say, Lord, you mean all my failures, everything I've done, my conscience? God says, I don't want your conscience to accuse you of anything that my Son died for. He died for all of our sin, past, present, and future. Amen? He says, oh, I want you clean, but you don't understand, I failed. Yes, who hasn't? Yeah, but I had an abortion 30, okay, get it under the blood. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. I talked to a person that listened to a message from when I was talking, whenever it was, has God given you up? You know, when God gives up. Remember that sermon? And they were listening at 2 o'clock in the morning. They called me. This person was a transgender and said, I need to know that I'm saved. They said to me after I heard that, I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. You know, and that person, even in all the hell that they've gone through, Jesus can save anybody. Amen. Jesus can wash away anyone's sin. Amen. There's only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that is the rejection of the only one who provides the sacrifice, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's not anything that God can't do. God's grace is bigger and wider and deeper than anything that we could ever, ever, ever imagine. Listen to me. Conscience always comes, and conscience tells me what I think of me. But the blood of Jesus tells me what God thinks of me. Amen? And that's what you need to hold on to all the days of your life, loved one. Now, let's get back. I got off track there. Let's look at verse 16. Now, in that day, God's judgment here is going to be according to the secrets of men, the secrets of their hearts. Verse 16. In that day, when God will judge the secrets of men by our Lord Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, meaning the one that Jesus gave, taught him there in the deserts of Arabia. So in that day, if there's anything secret, you know, the Bible's, you know, like David said, oh, Lord, forgive me of presumptuous sins. Forgive me of secret sins. Amen. Lord, forgive me for things I don't even know about. Wash me, cleanse me totally. No, in that day, let me tell you something. There's not one thing that God has overlooked. There's not one thing that God has forgotten. They're all in God's books. Remember, God keeps a set of books on everything. He's accurate in everything that he does. No, the secrets of men, the secrets of people, that hidden world where we think no one can penetrate. God says, oh yeah, I know absolutely everything that you have done. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, there's no creature, meaning no created thing, hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must, it's an absolute certainty, we must give an account. So there's that day of reckoning. Thank God we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, amen? That's a good thing. Yes, that's a place of rewards, not a place where our sins are judged. Our sins have already been judged on the cross. This is about that great white throne judgment day. All secrets are going to be revealed. Listen, you can't, everything is naked. When God says, I see everything. He knows everything about us, everything about every person. Nothing can be hidden from him. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:24, can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see, saith the Lord? No, God sees absolutely everything. Solomon, when he penned Ecclesiastes 12:14, said this, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or whether evil. Now let's move quickly here. Now, in that day, God is going to judge everyone according to relationship, not religious profession. That's very important that we see that. See, religion without relationship is dead. Amen? See, religion can never change anyone, can never change mankind. It's impossible. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, they were coming down from the temple and they'd been working all day and they were going down. And what happened? They found a man that was wounded and beaten, half dead, and they just passed by on the other side. Why? Because religion is always powerless to help anyone. Always. Religion has no relationship. Now listen, unless God's word, the truth of God's word penetrates a person's heart and changes them. I don't care what they do in life. If they go to church every Sunday, they have religion. They do not have Christianity. That's so vital that we see that. C.S. Lewis said this about religion. He said, of all bad men, religious bad men are the worst. Verse 17, now watch this. Indeed, or literally, but if you are called a Jew and you rely on or lean upon or rest on the law of Moses, and you make your boast in God. We could say the same thing. In other words, to be called a Jew was to be given the highest title at that time you could be given. You know, they were an Israelite. That was their nationality. Hebrew, that was their language. But to be called a Jew was the highest. Why? Because they were God's chosen people. They belonged to God. They were the only people on earth who had the word of God. They were the only people on earth who were in covenant with God. Think of that. And there they were. I mean, I can understand why they're bragging, and you know. But listen, you can't trust in your heritage to escape the judgment to come. You can't. I'm a Baptist. Wonderful. But you can't trust being a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. That's wonderful. But is being a Methodist going to escape you from the judgment that's coming? Or Calvary Chapel? No, it's about a true living relationship with Jesus. Amen? Boy, that's so important. You see, we could brag. I mean, they said, we're Jews, okay? I can say, I'm a Christian. Did God choose the Jews? You better believe the apple of God's eye. But has God chosen us? Absolutely, we're the chosen people too. And not only that, do we have a covenant with God? We have a better covenant based on better promises because we have the surety of a better mediator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We are all out of time for today, but please join us tomorrow for the conclusion to today's message. Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that the remainder of your day is blessed, and we hope to see you next time. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.